Hey folks, it's Adam Summer. Welcome back to the Heartland Pod for this episode, Tuesday, December 6th, 2022. I have a chat for you. I've got an interview with Maggie Garrett, who is the Vice President for Public Policy with Americans United for Separation of Church and State. We're going to be talking with Maggie about why the separation of church and state guarantees religious freedom, a fundamental right, and how Americans United shields our shared laws from the influence of any one religion so we can be free to come together as equals and build a stronger democracy. And we get deep into some of the issues around school funding, and specifically those trying to defund public schools. Lots to talk about, so let's go. Welcome back to the Heartland Pod. My name is Adam Summer. I am your host. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for stopping by. Always nice to see you, or at least pretend to see you. I don't see anybody when I'm doing this. I'm just in my studio. So it's great that you're here. I am happy that you're here. This is a great chat. I'm very, very excited for this one. Maggie Garrett from Americans United. This is one of those deals where I said something on Twitter and it went... kind of cuckoo bonkers, shares and likes and comments, and, you know, then a debate breaks out inside of the debate and everything else. And Maggie Garrett was one of the people that kind of broke through the noise in all of that. And I was talking about school funding. I was talking specifically about folks who want to defund public schools, which is an issue that I very much care about. Folks who have listened to this show for a long time know that that's not a new thing that I've been talking about. I've simply changed the way I talk about it because... there are some folks who were very right, Alan specifically, about the wording of what's going on there and making sure the wording reflects the reality of what's going on. So I firmly am a believer in inclusive, open public education as the best and most useful tool for an enlightened citizenry and a working democracy. And just don't have a lot of trust for folks who want to take money away from public schools in favor of private schools, and especially those who want to do that for private religious schools in general. So that's what we're talking about here today. And, before we get to that part of it, first of all, I want to remind you, you can find us on all the social media with at the Heartland Pod. So if you don't follow us, go ahead and follow us, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, wherever, TikTok, at the Heartland Pod. You can find us on all those places. You can find us at heartlandpod.com as well with information about our hosts and our shows. We have lots of different hosts and lots of different shows on our network here. And if you haven't heard, if you've made it to today's show and you don't know, we've got a new show coming in January. There's going to be the preview clip right in the middle of this show. From Jess Piper. So there was the same clip was on yesterday's Monday show. It's on today's show, and it'll be on all of our shows for the rest of the year so that you guys hear it and know what's coming. Jess Piper's coming with a show called Dirt Road Democrat, and you better believe that she will be talking about education funding on Dirt Road Democrat. That will be a huge topic for Jess. I have absolutely no doubt about that. So make sure you are subscribed so that you get those shows in January. January 5th is going to be her first show. So make sure you're subscribed and tell your friends. I bet you know somebody who really likes Jess Piper. I bet you know somebody who follows her on social media. Let them know, hey, this is that podcast that I've been telling you about, that podcast I listen to that I think is, you know, so smart and great and that you should be checking out. Yeah, that's the people. That's the people that are helping Jess have a show. So, you know, maybe check them out because... you know, why not? Why not be an early adopter? Don't you want to say you were there first? You were there before it was, you know, all the rage to get over here. So not that there's not a lot of folks here. And thank you to all of you who are here. Reminder, you can support us on Patreon if you like what we're doing, if you like the work. We are 100% independent, which is why we get to do whatever we want. Are able to launch a show for somebody like Jess Piper because our money is coming from our pockets and it's coming from the group of dedicated listeners who have signed up on Patreon. You can do that by going to heartlandpod.com and clicking the Patreon box that pops up, or just going to Patreon and searching for the Heartland Pod and supporting us there and get extra perks and all kinds of stuff. All right, a quick break here and then we will get to the interview. All right, so this chat with Maggie Garrett that is about to kick off. Like I said, we talk about school funding, we talk about defunding public schools, and we talk about the realities of moving public money into religious institutions. And something that is really interesting, if you go to AU.org, which is the Americans United for Separation of Church and State, the website that's the group that Maggie comes from, they're actually a faith-based website, right? They're a faith-based group. They were founded by faith leaders. So this is not some anti-religion, anything. It is pro-education, right? It is pro-separation of church and state. It is pro the founding principles of the First Amendment. It is pro-pluralism, pro-freedom, pro-democracy, pro-freedom of consciousness. The most important freedom that we have as individuals. Get as deep as you want on the founding fathers. Freedom of consciousness, man, that's what it was all about. That's what it was all about. That's why this country exists in the first place. Freedom of consciousness. That's the key. The key to the kingdom. And that's what we get into. So here is that. Here's the chat with Maggie Garrett. I hope you enjoy it. And remember, right somewhere around the middle, you're going to get the preview of the Dirt Road Democrat with Jess Piper. And enjoy the show. Have a great day. And we'll see you on the other side.
Let's have a chat.
All right. We are here for Let's Have a Chat. And I have with me Maggie Garrett, who is the Vice President for Public Policy with Americans United for Separation of Church and State, which the short name Americans United. They do a lot of work across the country, and we'll get to some of that in a minute. But first, I want to say, Maggie, thank you for taking the time. Thanks for joining me here on the Heartland Pod. And how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
So I think the reason we wound up connecting was I had posted something on Twitter about school choice funding, and it kind of exploded. And I think that's how we came across one another. Why would that have come across your radar?
So at Americans United, one of the things we're really concerned about is taxpayer dollars funding private religious schools. And voucher programs primarily fund religious schools. Usually the programs are, 80% of the money goes to religious schools and religious education. And so we're really concerned about that. And because of that, I am one of the co-chairs of the National Coalition for Public Education, which is a coalition of 50 plus national organizations that all come together. We have very different missions, but we all come together to support public schools and to oppose private school vouchers.
So Americans United for Separation of Church and State. I can imagine if somebody knows nothing about your organization, one of their first thoughts is bunch of crazy devil worshiping, anti-Christian, horrible, evil, crazy folks. Reading your front page, it sounds like that's precisely the opposite of what's going on there.
You know, it's really interesting, I think, because we were actually founded by religious leaders.
Right.
So back when we were founded 75 years ago, our founders included the Southern Baptists, the Evangelicals, the Seventh-day Adventists, and the NEA also, who were really concerned about public dollars going to religious schools. And I tell everyone, because this is a very true story, that I came to church-state separation as something that really meant a lot to me because of my Republican father and my Lutheran pastor. And they're the two people who taught me that the only way to have true religious freedom is to have church-state separation, and that it is both good for non-believers, and it's also good for people of faith and houses of worship.
Right. It was a core principle, right? I mean, anybody, you read enough Jefferson, read enough Washington, they were pretty clear on that. You know, it wasn't like they minced words around that.
Exactly. I mean, one of the great things about church-state separation is that we invented it. The United States invented the concept of it, right? It is at the core of who we are. It is woven into our Constitution. And it's really a big part of why we are what we are as a nation, why we have so much religious diversity. It's because of church-state separation.
I always, when the topic comes up with folks who want to talk about it, one of the first things I always do is I ask them, tell me what you know about the Declaration of Independence, right? And of course, it's no taxation without representation, right? The Boston Tea Party, that's sort of the go-to. And then I say, how many times is the word tax in the Declaration of Independence? And the answer is one. one time. But there are multiple lines in the Declaration of Independence about the church, about the forced participation in the church and the forced payments to the church and et cetera, et cetera. Multiple lines about that. But we learn it in school, right? We learn it as no taxation without representation. All right, we're done with the Declaration of Independence, moving on. When that really couldn't be further from the truth. It sounds like that's exactly where your all's flag is planted.
That's exactly right. And when you look at the Constitution as well, you know, it says no religious test. And it talks about, you know, no establishment of religion. A lot of people, I'm sure you've heard this recently, especially from people like Lauren Boebert, who say, you know, the church state separation isn't in the Constitution, so it doesn't actually exist. But the concept is there, right? Like the term religious freedom isn't there. The term fair trial isn't there, but you would never say that those concepts aren't in the Constitution. They're embedded into it.
It also doesn't say that the right to bear arms is an individual freedom, but Justice Scalia found that principle just fine. So, but hey, that's a whole other debate to have about originalism and its place in the law. So, when it comes to the voucher, you mentioned Americans United is about 75 years old. You talked about one of the basis that we're talking about is the voucher system. So when I think voucher system and I think 75 years, now I've done my homework. And so I think Prince Edward County. I think Brown versus Board of Education. And I'm thinking about Virginia and the Virginia School of Economics and the movement that happened where they went, well, we don't want black kids and white kids going to school together, but we can create public schools or create private schools and then give out vouchers for the private schools to all the white kids. And that'll solve our problem right there. And that is, as far as I know, the origin of quote unquote school choice or the defunding of public education.
You are exactly right. And I am so happy to hear you bring that up as a starting point, because a lot of people don't know that that is where they came from. They came from fighting the desegregation of our public schools. And if you look at the language that they used back then, it is the exact same language.
Exactly.
Parental rights. It is parental choice. It is school choice. It is exactly the same.
Yeah. Yeah. That's I've had somebody on the show who works for they can call it a nonprofit all they want. It's a lobbying firm funded by the DeVos family. She's the Missouri chair for that. And, you know, when I asked about the origin of this stuff, she wanted to tell me about how it started with inner city black leaders in like Detroit, but just was totally, you know, thrown aback by the fact that it possibly could have started in the 50s after Brown versus Board of Education. And it doesn't take very long, by the way, to learn that information. It's readily available information that's out there. So when you look at the current movements, you mentioned the wording is the same. You know, how strong is the movement right now to move public funds to private pockets?
It's very strong. I mean, they are passing bills. They are, over the years, they're sort of chipping away. They're adding new programs. They have a lot of money behind them and they have a lot of strength behind them, which is why it is more important than ever for us to stand up and say no. They're also doing a coordinated campaign on vouchers. It's not just that they talk about vouchers for vouchers' sake, but they are doing Christopher Rufo. You've probably heard of Christopher Rufo and probably talked about Christopher Rufo. He's the architect of the manufactured anti-CRT campaign. He says that the point of the CRT campaign, the point of the Don't Say Gay bills in Florida and other states is to create distrust of our public schools.
Yeah.
So the idea is you think of controversy when you think of public schools. You think of CRT, you think of the LGBTQ issues, you think of masks, right? There were ideas of using masks to go to, if you don't want to wear a mask or you do want to wear a mask, you get a voucher to go to private school. But the idea is if you create enough distrust, the solution is that everyone will want a voucher to go to a private school because now they just think of public schools as being bad. And they have a lot of forces behind this. You can see it. The anti-CRT stuff is everywhere. The elections that just happened, It's kind of hard, I think, to see nationally where that went because, some people brought it up in their campaign that they, were pro voucher. Some of those folks would have won anyway. Some of the people who were anti-voucher would have won anyway.
Right.
So it's really hard. I feel like it's sort of a mixed bag and hard to tell, at least this early, how education, and vouchers played in those elections.
And this, for you, is not just something that you deal with as, a public policy expert. This is something you've argued these issues. You've litigated high profile cases. It's on your bio about the separation of church and state. And that's really what it comes down to with these voucher issues is we're talking about separation of church and state. They want to make it an educational argument, but the reality is that it's a First Amendment argument.
Correct.
My name is Jess Piper. I've spent over a decade in the classroom, raised a family, ran for office, and cleaned plenty of dirt off my boots on my family's farm. Now I'm joining my friends from the Heartland Pod to bring you my new show, Dirt Road Democrat. Together, we will take winding roads connecting our communities across the Heartland as we build bridges and relationships after years of disrepair. Join me every other Thursday right here on the Heartland Pod feed for Dirt Road Democrat with interviews, stories, and the same fire y'all know I'll never stop bringing to the fight. Whether you're a Democrat, a Republican, or live on a pristinely paved road, I'm here for you too. So join me, and together let's rebuild the relationships in the Heartland and talk truth along the way.
Well, it started that way. With the current Supreme Court we have, they've made it way more difficult to do that. But
right.
The one of the key cases in this came from Missouri in 2017, the Trinity Lutheran case. And
yep.
In that case, Missouri had a competitive grant program, and they gave qualifying organizations money to purchase recycled tire rubber that they then used to resurface playgrounds.
Yep.
And there was a religious preschool. They applied for the grant. And the state said, I'm sorry, you're not eligible for that grant because Missouri has a really strong church-state separation clause called, they're called no-aid clauses. They're about
right.
almost 40 of them around the country in different states where it's a stronger provision than the U.S. Constitution. And so they said, we're really sorry that you don't qualify, because a fundamental principle is that we don't fund religious schools and education. And they sued. And the Supreme Court said, well, this is really discrimination against those schools. You're treating this school differently because it's tires, it's rubber, it's a playground. It's not, the money isn't going to be used for anything religious. You're not
right.
teaching any religion. It's a playground. And so that really took a big turn in 2017. And honestly, since then, there's been a couple of other cases involving education funds that have made it even harder.
Yeah, there was one just in Maine, right? In 2022, I think.
Yeah, exactly. In 2022, there was a Montana case, Espinoza. It was very similar in a way to Trinity Lutheran. It was a tuition tax credit voucher.
Right.
And the state said, we'll give this to secular schools. We can't fund religious schools with it because of our constitution and church state separation principles. And the Supreme Court again said, no, you're discriminating against religious schools. So they get the money anyway, which again is really turning religious freedom on its head. The idea of religion in this country, right, is that it's treated specially. So it is treated both, it gets advantages, right? So it will
right.
get exemptions. So you get tax exemptions, you get maybe an exemption from the ADA,
right.
you get all sorts of exemptions
like
over
workplace
here.
Exemptions,
and then on the other
yeah,
side,
all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. But then on the other side, you also don't get government funding the same way that a secular organization does. So
right.
it's sort of, you get exempt, you're treated extra special over here, and then you don't get money over there. And what's been happening is they are both getting the money and getting their special treatment. And this really showed up again in Carson, which is a case from this year. That's the main case. And in that situation, the Maine, there's many areas in Maine that are super rural, and they can't even have public schools. They just, like, there's not enough kids to do that. So they would give money and say, you can take the money and get the equivalent of a public education at a private school, but it has to be secular education because that's what public education is. And their parents sued and said, I want to spend my money on religious education. The prior cases were like, you can't discriminate against a religious school because it's a religious school. But like, we'll leave open the idea that you can limit what the funds go to. And right. then in Carson, which just came down, they said, nope, you've got to fund the religion.
You know, the distinction there is like, it's not just that we're talking about a school that in general maybe has some faith-based stuff or, you know, calls itself a Christian school or, you know, that it's like sort of Christian light. Like, no, these are schools that are pretty hardcore. I mean, am I wrong about that?
You are exactly correct. The Supreme Court in Carson said you can have some restrictions in these schools, but these schools that the parents wanted to send them to had very explicit statements of faith. You had to sign that you were a particular kind of Christian. They don't accept LGBTQ students. They don't accept students with LGBTQ parents. If you are a gay student, they will send you to conversion therapy. And so the schools are, you know, they can turn away whoever they want. So it's really problematic. And, you know, the teachings that they teach, they can teach creationism. They can teach really anything they want in their curriculum.
And on top of that, we have the issue, you know, I have a special needs daughter. She's 5 and a half. She goes to public school and she has a severe special need. I mean, like can't walk, can't talk, needs help with everything every mm-hmm. single day. So that's the kind of example where, you know, if you're dealing with a private organization. So, you know, when folks say, well, you can shift her wherever it fits her needs the best. Well, these private organizations aren't subject to the same federal laws. So the IDEA Act, suddenly they're able to go, we don't think so.
That's exactly right. There is a promise they make that you're going to somehow get a better education when you get a voucher. And it is right. particularly problematic the way they promise this to kids with special needs, because in the public schools, you have, as you said, the protections under IDEA. And then when you go to when you go to a private school, you lose a lot of those protections. They don't have to have teachers that can serve you. They don't have to serve your special needs. You might have an IEP from the public right. school that says how you should be best taught. A private school doesn't have to pay attention to that.
Right.
They can just turn you away in many cases because you're a student with disabilities. And that is not the way we should be spending our taxpayer dollars. Spending it on schools that can pick and choose among students and turn certain students away.
And I think it took me a while. You know, I was sort of using that phrase school choice and allowing it to be in the vernacular that I was using. And I've since flipped that on its head myself, thanks to help from one of our listeners who reached out. Because it really, you know, when you think about school choice, well, there's always been school choice, right? When I was going into second grade, my parents, we were Southern Baptist. My parents toyed with the idea of homeschooling. That was school choice. We had a religious school in our town. That was a school choice that they could make, right? My sister went there when she was in elementary school. All of that is school choice, and they've always had that right. You know, the parental right thing still exists. It always existed. It's not like it ever went away from, you know, it wasn't made unavailable somehow in public schools, but because they always leave out of that argument the in loco parentis part of it, where you are utilizing this, you know, this public good, this public service, and saying, please take my place for this period of time and make these decisions for my child. And that takes away some of those parental rights, but you don't lose that parental right to say, okay, I'm going to homeschool my kid. That's always been there. But, you know, I guess I'm just wondering if you're seeing any new, like, where this new huge motivation is coming from. Like, do we have a point, a source for this? Because it feels like the last 10 years, it's become really, really huge again.
I will start by saying you're exactly right. It isn't school choice. It is choice for private schools to get money and pick and choose whatever kids they want, right? So this isn't for the parents. This is for the private schools. It's definitely funneling money to private schools to be paid by the government to pick the kids they want. And where is it coming from? I think it's coming from money on the right. It is coming from the Heritage Foundation. It's coming from the Koch brothers. It is coming from the DeVosses that are just funneling tons and tons of money into school vouchers.
Yeah, and it seems from what I can pick up on it, and if I'm wrong or you expand on this, if I'm hitting it, from what I can pick up on it, it's like you said earlier, they want to basically destabilize public schools. And it appears to me to be a part and parcel effort that goes right along with the way that modern, conservative is a word they use, but it doesn't really mean anything anymore. The way that modern conservatives approach government in general, which is what I've described it as, it's like a guy comes to your house to fix your refrigerator, but it's not broken. And then you say, no, my refrigerator's fine. And then they slam it with a sledgehammer and they say, it looks like you got a broken fridge there. But hey, luckily I'm here to fix your broken fridge. And it's like, well, you're the one who broke it, in the first place.
Exactly. And you see that so much with our public schools because they are draining funds. They are making it really difficult for teachers.
And then they turn around and blame those same teachers.
Yes. And the restrictions that you see them put more and more accountability provisions onto public schools, for better or worse. But then they turn around and say, oh, we can't put any restrictions on these private schools. That would be really difficult for them. They would never want to participate in the voucher program if you make them take tests, or if you have the teachers have to be certified, or if you can look at their curriculum, or if they need to fill out forms. You constantly hear that of like, no, we can't make it difficult for them. And yet they are really interested in putting all those sorts of restrictions on public schools. And again, in some cases that might be a good thing, right? That we have restrictions and protections for our students and our public schools. But it seems fundamentally unfair, and it doesn't make any sense to me that they're fine with just flooding private schools with taxpayer money and not really caring what happens, so long as the parent says, I liked this.
Yeah. So I can find you guys pretty easily when I search Twitter for now, Facebook, and other places by searching for Americans United. I see you at AU.org. I assume those are the best places to get in contact with you all. And from that standpoint, if I'm listening to this and I think, man, I agree. I want to make sure that we keep this separation. How do I get involved, and what's the best way to help out with something like this?
That is a great question.
Thank you.
I would say go to our website. as you said, it's au.org. We have, as you said, we have Instagram, we have Twitter, we have TikTok, which is beyond me, but apparently we have a TikTok and people like it.
I hated it, and then I tried it and I was like, okay.
I watch TikToks. I cannot quite bring myself to make a TikTok.
It's like crazy easy. Like the first one I did, I was like, that was way too easy. It's a little addicting. Anyway, I'm sorry. That's way off in the tangent weeds.
We have, in addition, we have a litigation team. We have my team, which is the policy team. We do have an outreach and engagement team. We have chapters around the country. We have a St. Louis chapter. So you can always go onto our website, find that out. They have activities and things. We have action alerts. We have all sorts of things. So if you want to know what is happening around the country, if you want to know whether to write to Congress, what is happening. And we do, in my department, we have one person who is dedicated to state legislative work, and he was opposing the Missouri voucher that recently passed.
Yeah.
So he has worked on that. And so we do engage that way in Missouri. But yeah, we would love to have any of you join us at Americans United.
And I'm assuming if I'm just like, look, I'm already volunteering in four or five other places, I can give you guys some money, and that certainly never hurts, does it?
I mean, we'd love you to give us money as well.
Well, Maggie Garrett with Americans United for Separation of Church and State, I really appreciate your time, and I don't want to use too much of it right now because I want to come back to this well. So I'm going to leave some strawberries on the vine, and we'll have to reconnect again, and because this is not going away. So it'll be great to talk to you again and again, and thank you very much for coming on the Heartland Pod.
Yeah, thanks so much. I'd love to come back sometime.
The Heartland Pod is a production of MidMap Media, LLC. Follow us on Twitter with @TheHeartlandPod. With email, you can reach us, heartlandpod2020@gmail.com, online with heartlandpod.com. Subscribe, and please sign up for our Patreon with patreon.com/heartlandpod. Become a podhead or an official Podgressive today and unlock all of our content. See you at the next show.